Ciao ragazzi, I'm Phil.
And I'm Alan.
And together we created this podcast to bring you interviews with pizza professionals from all over the world.
Our mission is to connect the pizza industry from mills to dairy producers, from pizzaioli to pizzerias.
One pizza at a time!
In the 33rd episode of Connecting the Dough, we interview Fan, the mastermind behind Leopard Crust, the sensational Instagram account showcasing the most incredible looking pizzas that she cooks every day from her home in Bangkok. Fan isn't a professional pizza chef, but she loves a challenge, and that's what brought us here today. In our interview, Fan will tell us all about her passion for pizza, from her first dough experiments to finding inspiration for new pizzas and connecting with an international community of pizza lovers reaching over 11,000 followers in less than 1 year. Enjoy!
First of all, you have your Instagram page, Leopard Crust, and where you share pictures of your pizzas, your creations. So tell us a bit more about your passion for pizza. How did it start and when?
Sure. Basically, last year was when I really started getting serious about making pizza. And I'm someone who, if I put my mind to something, if I put my mind to something, I want to hold myself accountable. So I made myself a challenge to make 100 pizzas, which, yeah, for someone who, like, you know, has to eat all 100 pizzas and doesn't work in a pizzeria, is a lot, right? And if I worked in a pizzeria, I'd probably do that in like 2 hours, right? But for a home pizza maker, 100 seemed like a lot at the time. And the reason why I chose 100 is because I knew that the pizzaioli always make it look way easier than it actually is. So I knew that there were going to be some really bad pizzas in the first few, right? So I wanted to set myself this goal,
right,
so that I don't give up halfway.
Okay.
So that, you know, I just keep pumping out pizzas, keep practicing until I got somewhere decent. So all of this was before Instagram. This was like my Batman cave training. but you know, after 100, you know, maybe after 3, I fell in love.
And, right.
And suddenly making pizza every day became part of my life.
So did you go to Italy and you had like the real pizza from Naples? Did you try one in Bangkok?
So yeah, I've always loved pizza my whole life. I've never been to Italy, although I can't wait to. I can't wait to try like Napoli style pizza, of course, but also like, you know, al taglio, tonda, like all of it. Like I've really been studying a lot. Anyway, I can't wait. So yeah, that's for another time. But yeah, I've always loved pizza to the point where there's this local pizza place in Bangkok, and the owner's actually from Corsica. Right. So, you know, Corsica being kind of a blend of French and Italian culture, their pizza is really good. And that was kind of the first time I've ever had such a flavorful dough because they ferment it properly. Right. And I first went there in 2018. And I think I went there almost every month, even though it's very far from my house. Uh-huh. And I would eat 2 pizzas by myself. That's how good it was. So like, you know, of course I'd like invite my friends and go with people to eat it. But like, they were just so that I could try more flavors. And I would eat 2 whole pizzas by myself because that's how good pizza is. And also because when you ferment it properly, it doesn't leave you feeling so bad.
That's right.
Yeah. You feel great. You feel on top of the world after you eat proper pizza, right? So I think that was something very important to help me unlock the idea that pizza is something I can actually eat every day.
and makes you happy. It makes you happy as well.
Oh, yeah. Like, I've been eating pizza every day for almost a year now. And really? Every time, yeah. And every time I eat the pizza, it's as if I haven't eaten pizza in months.
This is great. Love it.
I love it. And also, like, I think because I make it every day, it forces me to try these new toppings, right? Because, you know, I'll get bored otherwise if I think I could eat a margarita every day for a year. But, you know, if I had the option, I'd like to experiment.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, all of this was not on Instagram. But, you know, it was New Year's Eve last year. And, you know, I think we were in a bit of a lockdown. So I was bored at home and I decided to start the page. And, you know, it's my first time having an Instagram page that isn't like a personal page, like a special interest page. So I didn't know what to expect. But something really amazing is meeting so many amazing pizza makers around the world. And us swapping tips, swapping ideas, like being inspired by each other, that has been amazing. I didn't know that there was such a positive community on the internet because, you know, the internet is infamous for being a dark place. So that has been a huge surprise. And for me, like being able to share these pizzas, you know, like the reason why I was so touched when you said my pizzas made you happy is, you know, I feel so grateful to have something positive to share with people, you know, and that people get excited by. So, yeah, that's why I do it.
Okay, now I understand more about your passion for pizza and where it started. This was kind of something I really wanted to ask you because, well, you have such a professional outlook on, of course, on the approach on the sourdough, on the long fermentation. And then, of course, you go on the topping side. And that's, it's kind of Michelin star, if you like it, you know, kind of look. Is this also a business or is this just pure fun at home?
Oh, so yeah, it's totally non-monetary. And I think that's why I'm able to take some risks with my toppings, right? I think it's just pure love.
Right.
Yeah, not to be corny, but I really feel like that. You know, like the fact that I can eat it every day and like still be as excited about like the 360th pizza as I was about the fifth one. I really feel like I found something that is just pure love. And, you know, a friend asked me recently, do you want to open a pizzeria? And it's really tough, right? Because once you introduce money to it, it does change the relationship.
Absolutely.
This thing that I love so purely, a little bit. So that's a little bit intimidating. So I don't think I'll go that route right now. But my answer to her was actually, I just want to make pizza for nice people. Because what I've actually been doing is I've started bartering. So I will exchange my pizza and instead of money, the receiver has to give me something else. And it's a really cool way for me to try foods that I wouldn't know about and just like, you know, be exposed to more.
That's amazing. How did it work? Can you tell us more about that? How did you manage it? How did you organize it?
I got a few DMs from people who wanted to try my pizza and to me, it's something that I love sharing. But as I said, I didn't want to put a price tag on them. Maybe I'm too precious or I wouldn't know what to charge. So I thought, you know, I think it's more valuable if I just ask the person to give me something else in return. Like that to me is worth more than maybe what my pizza might be in terms of market value, right? Because like through this barter thing, like, I've gotten to try so many things. Sometimes people give me wine. That's always really appreciated. Like that, to me, that's a profit. Oh, definitely. It was like the kind of wine that I wouldn't buy for myself. So like that was like, yes. But yeah, I've gotten to try like some amazing like Thai desserts. chocolate cake. It tends to be dessert
for some reason. Is that because in Bangkok, people do tend to cook a lot of desserts and sweet dishes?
I think in Bangkok, there are a lot of amazing desserts. Like, I think Asians, especially Asian women, really have a huge sweet tooth. And so, like, you know, there are so many options.
But actually, they love pizza people, as well, because otherwise they will not come to you and offer their cake, right? They want to really try your pizza.
Yeah. There are a few, like, really, really great pizza places here. There's a little bit of an Italian community here as well. So I'm able to get my mozzarella and all the supplies, my andouille, things like that. So
yeah,
there's actually an Italian community here. But I think people wanted to try my pizza because it looks a little bit different.
Yes, I think that's a very good point. And I mean, one of the actually the first, so we're running this podcast in Italian and in English, depending on who is the interviewee.
Yeah,
and the first English interview we ran a few months ago was of an Indian guy who lives in London now and who started this East West Pizza, which is a pizzeria that has a blend of traditional Italian pizzas, but also Indian toppings. And that was an amazing concept because from an Italian point of view, we are used to have the really good ones, the Napoleon ones, who are really traditional. And you have like three flavors, you know, you have three types, six types maximum, and you just get those. Then you go into the crispy ones in Tuscany, in Rome, and stuff like that. You got like on the menu 50, 60 types of different pizzas.
Oh my gosh.
Usually it's not many toppings. It's kind of like always a variation of those toppings, right?
Yeah.
They're always toppings that you find in traditional Italian restaurants. So when, you know, you got pizza and you got like these amazing, you know, even dumplings, and then you have crab that I just saw a few days ago. I was like, what?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite dishes.
On top of
my other favorite dishes.
Oh, amazing. You know,
that's just amazing. And it creates, I think, something special. And that's why I wanted to ask you as well, then. So in the pizzerias that you've seen or you visited, is this sort of fusion style popular or not so much?
Yeah, in general, the pizzerias here tend to be a little bit more traditional. I mean, like, they're still great and, you know, sorry, I just saw that Alan's...
Yeah, Alan is just joining us. I don't know whether he's on a queue to get some fuel at the moment. Oh, no.
Oh, hello. Nice to meet you.
Sorry, I'm late. It's at night, better run.
Yeah, Phil was telling me the situation.
Of the fuel.
Yeah, no, not good. Yeah,
sorry. Well, it's great. It's great to meet you.
Yeah, it's great to meet you too. It's just... yeah, I have to return a car and it needs a full tank. So I had to stop. Yeah. So what were you guys chatting about?
Well, first of all, I'll just give a brief recap, Alan.
Sure.
So we just started introducing like how she started this amazing Instagram page. And so it was like a challenge on how, you know, she said, I want to try and make 100 pizzas.
Yeah.
You know, and so she started this while back in 2018 and then she started to get hooked by making pizzas. She started to love pizzas and making pizzas and that was a few months ago. She said, why not like open an account and share my creations? And you can tell, you know, Alan, from the aesthetic.
It's really good.
She's done more than 100. She said, after 200, 300, she said, now I better share some of these with the world. And she created like an amazing community around her account And she met so many people around the world through Instagram that she's really happy, you know, and because that was a main goal, was to share the love and passion of pizza with others. And and I thought that that was great, but also I share with her why I thought personally was great. And it's because there are two her dishes enclosed, two of my favorite dishes, pizzas and East Asian food. And now we're talking about, you know, toppings and, you know, dumplings, fried crab. You know, and all, I mean, I'm not telling you, one my favorite dish, and I personally make myself, is kimchi, Korean kimchi.
Nice.
And I always thought, you know, I always put kimchi on pizzas afterwards, you know, and I just love the sourness and the Asian food flavors on top of a pizza.
Yeah.
And so this is where we are, Alan. Then you arrive.
And
I see you have new pizza on your bookshelf. I have that book too.
Yeah, sometimes I go a bit crazy with pizza books. I have technical books, cheese, a few vegan, make bread. This is very renowned. Yeah, it's just sometimes I get very technical. It's a bit hard to read. It's not something you want to read just before going to bed. Obviously, this is more like recipe-based and so on. But, I was looking at your Instagram feed as well, and made me hungry. Made me hungry yesterday. I love the... It's like you made this pizza sandwich. It's like with a steak
Oh, yeah, the steak sandwich.
Must have been. It was really nice. But also, like... It's like the tone of voice when you write your test, your copy, and it's very nice, it's very funny, it's very engaging, like the biggest shrimp I've ever seen.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, you should open a little pizza place, really.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
Yeah, right. I was telling Phil that I think you will know about this, right? Because you have your own pizzeria.
Yeah.
I only want to make pizzas for nice people.
Well, that's so, gonna be.
So I was telling Phil that I've started bartering. So I will trade my pizza for something else. So the receiver of the pizza will give me something else, and it's been a really great way for me to try new foods that I would not know about or typically get for myself.
Yeah.
So far that has been my kind of solution.
Yes. Yeah, because so you bake it at home and you have a rock box, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, there are only so many pizzas you can do, I guess. And do you do these like a few times a week? Do you schedule it in, or you just go with your inspiration? You see things, you say, I want to try this and that.
Oh, that's a great question. So I make pizza every day.
Yeah.
And I've been doing so for about a year now. And so I've been eating pizza every day as well. And I think, you know, that discipline, like me kind of making... I'm not really forcing myself. Come on. It's great. It's amazing to be able to make pizza every day. But me committing, that's probably a better word. Committing to making pizza every day allows me to be creative. Because I think like sometimes if you wait for inspiration to come before you do it, it will never come. So if you, you know, commit that you're already going to do it, like the ideas come while you're making the pizza sometimes.
Yeah, I guess you have to be in a good, frame of mind, but also I think when you don't do it as a job, maybe it's you don't have all the pressure of, you know, the fridge is broken, one stuff is sick, and you can just really do it for passion. But I see, like, I saw one of your posts. I'm sorry, I don't remember what sauce it was, but I think you ordered a takeaway, there was a bit of sauce left, and you decided to do a pizza with that.
Oh yes, it was Tom.
Yeah,
the Lebanese garlic paste. Oh, that one was a good one.
You know, I was I could relate to that because once I ordered a chicken tikka masala, and there was some sauce left, and I made a pizza with that using it as a base.
Oh,
and
my
it
God.
Was surprisingly good. And I think you know, your pizzas are very like adventurous as well, inspirational. Whereas Italians, sometimes we get a bit stuck with tradition. It's like, now you can't use that. Now you can't use the sauce. Now you can't put chicken on pizza. God forbid you put pineapple on it. Yeah. And it's nice. It's nice to see, you know, somebody that thinks outside the box and you know, with different ideas, different combinations. And obviously, I guess when you try different things, it doesn't always work. And you know, right? But you know, if you don't try, you never know, really.
That's so true. So I have a thing that I do called Weirdo Wednesday. So every Wednesday, I will try to go out of my way to think of something really different, right? And some of my of the people in the pizza community kind of hold me accountable to that. Like if I don't pick something weird enough, they'll tell me, "Oh, that's not that weird," right? So I really have to like get my juices flowing for Weirdo Wednesday, which is a fun challenge too. And yeah, you're so right that some of them really don't work out. Like I remember one of my earlier Weirdo Wednesdays was radish, and you know, I thought the spiciness of the radish and like the refreshing bite that you get when you bite into it might be good on a pizza, but it turned out really bland. So I don't recommend it. And I think like another fun thing is that we always rate the Weirdo Wednesday. So I'm very honest about whether it's good or not, because if it's not good, I don't want people to make it and then be mad at me later.
Thanks. Sorry. So I was on the your Instagram page and it looks like there is a community behind this Weirdo Wednesday. Is there like a way that we can connect with this community or people who are listening to us can connect to the same community by using what, an hashtag Weirdo Wednesday? Or
actually, Weirdo Wednesday. So there is a hashtag Weirdo Wednesday, but if you actually go to it, there's not that many other people posting weirdos. Like it's just something that I made up and I started doing. But I think like the pizza community will come in and judge my Weirdo Wednesdays. And sometimes some people will make their own Weirdo Wednesday, but I wouldn't say that it's like a very strong movement.
No, of course not, because they always like, everyone I think is quite,
it's easier to be a critic, right?
Well, it's hard also to make anything that's as weird as the Sex Panther or the or the Guns N' Roses and stuff like that. These are all creations from Fang and they are incredible.
They were really fun. Sex Panther was really fun to make.
That was scary.
You know, a lot of people thought that it was a plastic panther that I put on the pizza. No, why would I do that? I have to eat this pizza. Of course I'm going to make it edible. It was actually potato with squid ink cream to make it black.
Alan said the creativity that you need to have to come up with these pizzas is different level. And that's why we think that with all your experience now, because you've done hundreds, you're making hundreds of pizzas, and with all this creativity, definitely we'll come and eat to your pizzerias if we are in the good people list.
Come on. No, if you are ever in Bangkok, you know I'll make you a pizza, right?
This podcast is sponsored by PizzaiolaTribe.com, the job board dedicated to artisanal pizzerias and professional pizza chefs around the world. If you need a pizzaiolo, you can quickly post a job offer for free and reach a community of passionate pizza chefs. If you are looking for work, you can easily find and apply for pizzaiolo jobs available right now, all in one place. Only on pizzaiolatribe.com.
So how do you find your inspiration then?
Yeah, I think when I was just starting out, I had to sit down and really like think and like, I used to also draw the pizzas because I wanted to kind of think about how I wanted to present it in the early days. Actually, do you want to see? I think I have my sketchbook here.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's also where I put all my dough notes. So, okay. So, yeah. So when I was just starting out, right? And I think every pizza maker has to go through this rite of passage where we have to be technical first.
Yes.
Right. So I always like to say that the dough is a science and the toppings are art. Like in the way that I make pizza.
Left brain, right brain.
Yeah, exactly. The dough is a science. Like, and you have to respect it. But the toppings are where I can play. Anyway. So yeah, in the beginning, like I always kept these notes of each batch of dough.
Yeah.
Okay. This was like.
Wow.
Looks a little bit mental.
It's like Da Vinci.
Yeah. Or more like, you know, a criminal stuck in prison, going a bit crazy. I'm trying to find the page where when I was just starting out with pizza, I didn't even know how to top the pizza, right? So I had to like try to draw it to figure out what I wanted to do. You know? And then like that's the beauty of practice. When you commit to doing something over and over and over, eventually you'll get good enough at it that you don't have to whip open your notebook and figure out how you want to put things on a pizza. Oh, and here. See, so I used to kind of think of, oh, maybe I could, you know, draw the pesto like polka dots. That could be interesting. I don't know.
Brilliant. And how many hours do you spend on this project? Because I suppose you have another job or a professional life or a personal life. So could you tell us a bit more about like your commitment?
Yeah.
Daily commitment.
So the daily pizzas, those are chill. I'll usually kind of plan some toppings for that week. So on the weekend, I'll go shopping like a normal person, right? Like everyone. Does everyone plan their groceries? A lot of people plan their groceries. So I'm like
for the week.
Yeah, okay, I'm that person. So that's
never happens how you plan. Yeah, that's another story.
Yeah. And then it's the art ones like Sex Panther that take a while to make. So Sex Panther, like the potato carving for that was, I think, an hour. And I, you know, an hour is a long time to sit with yourself and a potato, right? So I did have a lot of moments of doubt in that hour where it's like, what am I doing with my life? Am I really here carving a potato for an hour? But truth be told, like it went by really fast. Like it felt like 10 minutes. And then I look up at the clock after the Panther's done and it's like, oh no, it took an hour. So those are a little bit more involved. The photos are very fast because I want to eat pizza. You know, like there's a pizza right in front of me. I want to eat it. So they're usually like click, click, click. Maybe I'll take like 12 photos and then I just have to pick 3 or 4 to put up. So that's probably like a minute. And then it's time to eat the pizza. That's my favorite part.
Would you use to take pizzas and make videos? Because your feed is very well, you know, curated.
Well, thank you. It's a Lumix GH5. So I was given this camera for my birthday last year. And yeah. I think during lockdown, I got to learn how to use it. I'm still learning, I have to say, but it's pretty fun. I'm a bit of a nerd sometimes, so I really enjoyed like getting to learn like both pizza and also how to make videos.
Yeah,
because previous to this, I'd never really made videos before. So yeah, that's been really fun.
I like to ask this question because we have something common. Well,
yeah.
So Alan mentioned, so we recognized you have a Rockbox pizza oven, and it's great tool. It's made by Gosney here, who's a brand from the UK that we know very well. I personally had in July the Dome.
Oh, nice.
I was one of the first ones who got
wow,
it.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And Alan tasted the first time the pizza made on the Dome. I think it was wood fired that time. And I wanted to ask you, how did you get to choose the rock box?
Oh, that's a great question. So what happened was my friend who has a cafe here, they actually had a rock box because they were planning to use it for events.
Right.
But then, you know, the pandemic hit and the rock box was in storage for months. So one day I asked, hey, you know, are you using the rock box? If not, could I R&D for you maybe? And they let me borrow it. So that's how I got started, because I knew I had it for a limited time. So I really wanted to get as good as I could within the time that I had a rock box. And I've, you know, when I went into pizza, I kind of thought about the pros and cons of my situation versus someone working at a pizzeria, right? So someone working at a pizzeria gets a lot more practice. But I think, Alan, as you mentioned earlier, they don't get the freedom to play around with toppings as much, right? Because, you know, they're hungry customers and they're banging at your door. So I really kind of thought about these things and I tried to make my situation at home as ideal as possible for me getting more skilled at making pizza. So that's why, like, one a day is really the maximum. Like, if I ate two a day, I'd probably be filling this Zoom screen. So one a day was the amount that I could allow myself to eat, because, you know, wasting pizza, like just making it and not eating it would be a sin. So that was my limit. Really, my stomach was my limit. But yeah, like that's how I got my hands on a rock box. And then eventually I got one of my own, thanks to Gosney for shipping it down to me to Thailand. And yeah, recently I started making some videos with them, which has been really fun. And I got to learn about making videos from them as well, because they're quite professional, you know, like I've seen any of the Gosney videos. So yeah, it's honestly all very surreal. Like, you know, when I was starting out and starting this Instagram page, I never thought I would get to do these kinds of things.
Being so successful.
Yeah, I'm grateful. And at the end of the day, my dream from the start was to eat pizza every day. And I honestly feel so thankful that I get to.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do you see this thing like progressing in the future? Is that, do you think you'll be able to monetize it? You just keep it as a hobby? You want to open a place?
Yeah.
It's a school.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I was telling Bill earlier that when you introduce money, it changes the relationship. And what I have with pizza right now is so pure, right? So I'm a little bit shy about thinking about monetizing it. And, you know, like when I think about it, it makes me feel very nervous, right? Like, because I love pizza so much and I never want to do something that might cause me to love it less. Like, to me, that's such a scary thought. Like, anyway, maybe I'm being too sentimental.
Pizza is sentimental.
Yeah. So I think something like pizza classes might be a bit more fitting for me, because it would be amazing to teach others how to make pizza and to share how fun it is. Like, to me, one of my favorite parts is when you first like start to push the air towards the crust and you feel the dough for the first time in that final proof. And it just feels so nice. Like, doesn't dough feel amazing? So like these small things, right? I'd love to be able to kind of share that with more people, because pizza making is not really normal. Right? Not that many people know how to make pizza or even think, oh, I might make pizza. So if we can introduce it to more people, that would be really cool, I think.
So what's the pizza landscape in Thailand? I mean, can you easily find pizza places? Do people appreciate pizzas? Is it a bit niche?
Yeah. I think, so there is a decent-sized Italian community here. So we have a lot of fairly traditional style pizzas. And also it helps me with sourcing ingredients. So yeah. I'm able to, you know, get the flours, get the cheeses, the andouille, the cold cut, all of it. It's great. But I wouldn't say there's that many options, you know, or maybe I'm being greedy, but to me, like, you know, there can always be more pizzas. I think there's a million reasons why pizza's so awesome and why we all love pizza. But one in particular is that, you know, most people in the world have a different experience of pizza. They grow up eating different pizzas. I'm sure the pizzas that I ate as a child were different from the types that you both ate, right? And then from that, it kind of gives each of us like a different impression on what the perfect pizza is. And I think in Thailand, like the perfect pizza is maybe different than what would be regarded as like the perfect pizza in New York or the perfect pizza in Napoli. Excuse me. And yeah, I think like without so many options, I'm not actually sure what the perfect pizza for like, you know, the Thai palate is here. But yeah, I think in a couple of months, I might do a pop-up with a friend.
Okay.
It's a short one. But maybe I'll get to know what people here like.
Yeah, that's amazing. Also, you will learn more about margins as well. And, you know, what it's in the head of every pizzeria owner.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I actually calculated my own margins. Already? Just for me to know, like, how much pizza costs. But yeah, probably wouldn't be selling lobster pizza. I think like here there's a price that people are willing to pay for pizza.
Right.
Because it's still, I mean, like, fortunately or unfortunately, pizza is not seen as like a luxury food.
Yeah.
To me, that's what I love about it. Like, I love that pizza is not pretentious, right? But yeah, that's why I don't think they'll pay for a lobster pizza.
I think in my view, it's like in England, they call it like comfort food, like fish and chips or, you know, pie or sausage and mash and so on. But what I always say is like, because it's comfort food, and it's like, you know, everybody can afford one, doesn't mean that can be abused and just done in the cheapest possible way, because it's like fish and chips, you can find a good one or you can find a mediocre one. It's the same is with pizzas. I mean, what we see in the UK is like, now the price of the pizza is going up, and very often you'll find a margherita for like £10 if you go to a pizzeria. And it's not uncommon to see pizzas for like £15-16 on a menu.
Which is about what, $13-14 US dollars, I think?
Yeah.
No, a bit more. Like £16 would be about $20, $21 maybe. But the thing is like, if you can make a good one with good produce, and there is a story behind because you use quality ingredients and where you source them and so on and so forth, then there are a lot of people that are happy to pay the price, because it's like, you know, it becomes more like a treat really than something that you instead of something that you eat on a regular basis, like for example, in Italy or Naples, is that you would have pizza almost every day, even if you don't make it yourself, because it's so accessible and it's so cheap as well.
Yeah.
But here in England, it's more of like, unless you own a pizzeria, it's more like, you know, once a week sort of thing. Okay. Do you have any other questions, Filippo?
I have many, and I think perhaps we could do another podcast when after your pop-up project in a couple of months' time. My only question, I have a couple before leaving there, just
No. I have time. It's fine.
One, it's more like technical. One is like regarding your dough. So I've seen on your website you have recipes from direct dough making style, but also one with a sourdough starter. So because, and you were, of course, in your guide, you were suggesting to use a 00 type flour. But looking at your dough and your crusts, it looks like to me that almost like a blend of flours, not just 00, which is the white refined, but looks like it's darker and has more perhaps type 1 as well, like all grain, wholesome flour. So I just wanted to ask you, can you tell us a bit more about your mix?
Oh, definitely. Oh, I love this question. I love that we're getting into the detail. Oh, man, I could talk for hours about dough. Anyway, but let's not. Anyway, to answer your question, so most of the pizzas that you see lately are the sourdough, and it's got 5% of rye starter in it. So All those grains are just 5%. Because I used to make my dough with higher inoculations, like 20 or 10. But I found that the rye would make the cornicione more dense. It's like a trade-off, right? Rye is so beautiful and flavorful, but it will kind of bring your pizza, the air in your pizza a little bit down. So 5% to me was my sweet spot for how puffy I like my crust. I really like puffy crust. It also like makes me feel like I can eat more. It's a lie, right? Like your dough is the same weight anyway, but like, you know, a mental trick. Anyway, so
is it 5% rye in the sourdough or?
So the starter is 5% rye. The starter is 100% rye, and we're using 5% of that starter in the dough. I did play around a lot with flours, like whole grain, bread flours, like not even 00. Unfortunately, though, I am a little bit limited in terms of the flour that I can access here. I have a lot of dream flours. I would love to get my hands one day on like Caputo Nuvola Super, like the super puffy one. Oh my gosh, like I see the pizzas coming out with that and I want to try it, you know? It's even with the limited selection of flour here, there's endless possibilities of things to play with. Like recently I tried, you know, when you start to open your pizza, you put your panetti into like some semolina, right?
Yeah.
I tried doing it in rye to see if I could get more rye flavor without sacrificing the puff.
How did it go?
Yeah. So I was so excited. I thought like, maybe I'm onto something. No. So rye only becomes sour when it's had time to hydrate. And when you put it on the outside of the crust, it's not enough moisture to hydrate it and make it sour. So instead, it tasted a bit oaty, which was not bad, but it's not really what I was going for, right? So yeah, even with like the few flours that I have here, there's so many ideas that I have in my mind. Like one that I haven't done yet, but I'd like to, is trying like a tangzong or yudane base. So tangzong or yudane, basically you cook some of the flour with water and that forms a gel. And a gel is a lot more stable. So your dough is able to withstand a higher hydration. And I don't know, like maybe pizza, it could go to 90%. I don't know. But yeah, like, that's another experiment that I'd like to try soon.
Interesting.
Fantastic. Last question that I had is about a pizza that you made in remembrance of Ruth Bader Ginsburg in celebration for International Women's Day. And that was literally like, you know, the people who haven't seen it, it's like a white margarita with where you kind of drew her face. That's pizza art, right? There are courses and classes everywhere in the world about that particular craft. So I was curious because I thought like, wow, this is kind of, it's a different level again of pizza making. So I was curious to know whether you knew about it, the technique you used and so on.
Yeah, I didn't know it's a thing. Is it a thing? Okay. Like, specifically pizza art.
Yeah, Alan.
There are people that do portraits with, with the mozzarella. Oh. So. And then they sell you glasses as well. So, yeah, my question with, well, now I can see that you learned on your own.
I'd love to see how the pros do it, right? Because, like, to me, like, my process is, okay, there's an idea. I'm going to do my best with whatever I have in my house to make that idea happen. I did practice on a plate, like a plain white plate, drawing with sauce, because it was my first time drawing with sauce. And what I did was, you know that trick where you, like, tape a, what's it called? A Ziploc bag to make a piping bag, right? And I cut a very small hole in it so that I would have precision in the drawing. So I had, like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg up on my laptop, and then I had my plate, and then I started drawing it. The first attempt was really bad. But the second one, I learned from that first one, and then the third attempt was on the pizza itself. So, yeah, that's... I didn't know it's a thing!
You know that... I remember, I don't know, a few years ago, I had some... You know what mortadella is?
Like? Yes. Yeah.
So I had some mortadella, and I was like, oh, I could use it for a pizza. And then I thought for, some time, what can I do, blah, blah. And then I thought, oh, pistachio will go really well with it. And I was so impressed with myself. And then I realized everybody's been doing that for life.
Years. Yes.
But yeah. Sometimes you get to, you get an idea or you get some combination. And you honestly think, it's your idea. And then you go and look around and people have been doing it for ages. But, I mean, you got that on your own, which is like, must be satisfying anyway.
Yeah.
So it's, I can relate to that.
But in that moment, you felt like a genius.
Yeah. Well, that's such a great idea. And then everybody's been doing that. Yeah.
That's awesome. To me, like, sometimes when I'm making my weird pizzas, I know they're weird. So I'm kind of judging myself. Half of my brain's judging myself. And the other half's like, no, it's going to be great. Just stick with it. Because, when you're, like, halfway through drawing something, it doesn't look good at all. And you're like, what are you doing? Why did you have such a crazy idea? So you just got to ignore that critique in your mind and just keep going.
But you see, before you said something interesting, because you said, well, the dough is mainly like technique and science, really.
Yeah.
Whereas the toppings, you can go wild. And that's my thinking as well. Like, the base is like a canvas, and then it's up to you to paint it. So some people may go for abstract, some people go for crazy stuff, some people go for more traditional things.
Yeah.
But I don't think... sometimes people talk about traditional and tradition, but they forget that, 100 years ago, we didn't make pizza the way we make it today. And today we call it traditional, where in fact, nobody, makes dough by hand in the, I can't remember the name, in the wooden bowls.
The box, right?
Yeah, there is more technique. We talk about temperatures. We talk about... proving, controlled temperature, and so on and so forth. And we didn't do all this before. So it's, I think we should be more open-minded.
It's music to my ear.
As a group, even, and then...
Even Canotto style is new, right?
What did you say?
Even Canotto style pizza is new, right? It's fairly new.
That's what we call contemporary. I don't know, it's been here maybe a couple of years or so. But people experiment, try, and like in everything, you have trends. Now we have to see if it lasts, it doesn't last. And then in a couple of years, somebody will come up with something else, and then people like it and they start copying it.
Yeah.
We should be more open-minded, embrace, change, embrace new ideas. And then obviously, sometimes people like stretch it a bit too far, but then, maybe you're one of those. But me too. But you know, it's you need to have fun as well. Otherwise, you can't always make a margarita and a marinara all your life. You need to change.
Yeah.
And
Go ahead.
Thank
you. Oh, so I really appreciate that you said that, because I think there have been some people who love traditional pizza to the point of being offended by some of my pizzas that have found my page recently. And I feel very, you know, like I share my pizza to make people happy, but I feel like I've had the opposite effect in that situation. So I feel really bad about it, but I know that I can't change who I am. Like, these are the pizzas that if I don't make them, I'm going to explode. Like, the ideas happen and I have to go do them, right?
And that's the best thing that you could do, you know, apart from opening a pizzeria so we can kind of,
I get the hint.
I think it's going to be successful. And even though if you only have 5 tables, I think what in some of the podcasts that we ran before, a very passionate guy who's running a successful pizzeria school in the UK, it's called Marco Fuso, he was telling us about how he would like to have more exchange of information and ideas and way of creating dishes from chefs, right? So he would like to see more communication between pizza chefs and chefs to create something, to evolve the pizza and bring it to higher levels or different areas, different places. And I think that's what you've done. You know, you stretched the limits. And so some people could be offended, but those are not the ones who are going to evolve the pizza in the future. And that's why we were really happy to meet you and to know you. I don't know, Alan, if that's shared the view, but I was really, really, really excited to meet you today, and and I can't wait to try one of those creations.
I think one day we'll do like a worldwide pizza tour, because we get so excited when we see, you know, new pizzerias, new concepts, and, you know, we're like, oh yeah, we have to go to Amsterdam, we have to go to Brussels, we have to go to Thailand, we have to go to this place.
Oh, wow.
It would take a year just to go around. Maybe you should do it and, you know, write a book or something. It would be interesting.
Yeah. I know. I feel the exact same way. Like, so many amazing pizzerias around the world.
It was so lovely to meet you, Feng. And I was really, really impressed. And I don't use this word lightly. And so hopefully we can keep in touch. And if you ever come to the UK, please do let us know. We'll take you for a pizza tour.
Oh my goodness. How can I say no to that? Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on your podcast as well. And all the best with your weekend without fuel.
Thank you.
Yeah, all sorted. And we'll keep you following on Instagram. So we are stalking you. And
well, good luck with your pop-up projects and let us know how it goes.
Thank you. I'm really excited about it. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Feng. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye.